Welcome back. In this lesson, we're diving deep into a jungle and drum and bass sampler rack workflow in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple. Make it hit hard without eating all your headroom. So we are not just loading a break and hoping for magic. We're building a flexible rack-based system that lets you slice and layer breaks, automate movement with macros, and keep the mix loud, clear, and under control. That means more punch, more energy, and less clipping. If you've ever had a breakbeat that sounded amazing soloed, but then got small, harsh, or messy the second you brought the bass in, this lesson is for you. First, set up your session with intent. I want you thinking in gain stages from the beginning, not trying to rescue everything on the master later. Start around 170 to 174 BPM if you're aiming for classic jungle or rolling DNB. If you want something darker and more halftime influenced, drop that a little. Create your drum tracks, your bass track, your FX track, and your return channels for reverb and delay. And on the master, keep things clean. You want some room left. A mix peaking around -6 to -3 dB is a healthy place to work. That headroom is not wasted space. That headroom is your safety net, and it's also what lets the drop breathe. Now let's build the core drum rack. Create a MIDI track and load up a drum rack. Inside that rack, add a sampler and drag in your break sample. If you're working with a full loop, classic mode is a good starting point. If you want to reimagine the break into playable pieces, slice mode gives you that classic jungle chop workflow. And if you're working with individual hits, one-shot mode keeps everything tight and predictable. Here's a really important habit: trim the sample at the source. If the break is too hot, don't just pull down the track later and hope for the best. Lower it in simpler or with utility before it hits your processing chain. That's clean gain staging, and it makes every processor downstream behave better. If your break needs to lock to the session tempo, turn warp on and choose the warp mode that sounds most natural. For drums, beats often keeps the transient feel punchy. For fuller loops, Complex Pro can work, but don't assume more processing is better. Jungle drums want character, not overcorrection. Next, let's shape the sound before we start automating it. On the break track, build a chain with EQ8, drum bus, saturator, compressor or glue compressor, and utility. This gives you a solid starting point for tone, punch, and level control. With EQ8, keep it subtle. Roll off unnecessary low rumble if the sample has it, usually somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz. If the break sounds boxy, try a small dip in the low mids around 250 to 450 Hz. And if you want the snare to crack a little more, a gentle lift in the 3 to 6 kHz zone can help. But be careful here. Jungle breaks are supposed to feel alive, not oversculpted. Then add drum bus. This is one of the best tools for giving a break some density without flattening the life out of it. A little drive, some transient enhancement, and maybe a touch of damp can make the break feel more finished immediately. Keep the boom under control unless you have space for it, because your bass line needs room. Now saturate the signal lightly. Saturation is a huge headroom trick, because it gives you perceived loudness without huge peak jumps. Use soft clip if it feels right. Add just a few dB of drive, and then compensate the output so you're hearing the real change, not just a louder signal tricking you. After that, use gentle compression if needed, not aggressive smashing. We're aiming for control, not destruction. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, a medium attack, a moderate release, and only a couple dB of gain reduction is usually enough. If you're taking off 6 to 10 dB all the time, you're probably flattening the groove. Jungle breaks need movement. The transients are part of the excitement. Finally, put utility at the end of the chain. Use it as a final trim before the sound reaches the rest of the mix. This is where you make sure the rack is behaving and not secretly stealing all your headroom. Now we turn that whole thing into a performance instrument. Group the chain into an audio effect rack so you can map macros. This is where the workflow starts to get powerful. Instead of automating volume all over the place, you're going to automate tone, snap, dirt, space, and width in a controlled way. For example, map one macro to break level, another to tone, another to snap or transient energy, another to dirt, another to space, and another to width. That gives you a whole control surface for arrangement changes without touching the mixer every time. This matters because in jungle and DNB, a small change in filter or transient often feels bigger than a big old volume ride. That's one of the secrets here. You do not need to constantly make everything louder. You need to make it feel more alive. Let's talk about parallel processing, because this is where you can get aggressive without losing your clean chain. Inside the rack, make two chains. One is your dry chain, which keeps the transience and the natural feel. The other is your smash chain. On the smash chain, high pass the low end, compress it harder, add saturation, maybe even a drum bus if it helps, and then blend it in quietly underneath the dry signal. This is a classic pro move. The dry chain keeps the punch. The smash chain adds attitude. Together, they give you energy without forcing the main path into hard limiting. If the break feels huge but the mix stays in control, you've done it right. Now let's get into the automation strategy, because this is really where the lesson lies. Don't automate everything at once. Pick one hero control per phrase. That might be tone in the intro, snap in the build, dirt in the second half of the drop, or space in the breakdown. The key is to let each move have a job. For the intro, keep the break darker and a little more distant. Reduce the snap a bit, maybe close the filter slightly, and let the groove establish itself. In the build, you can start opening the tone, adding a bit of transient energy and tightening the rhythm. In the drop, keep the space under control so the drums stay focused and the bass line can breathe. Then, in the second 8 bars, bring in small variations, a fill, a short reverb throw, a tiny increase in dirt, or a momentary filter move. That's the thing about jungle arrangements. They often feel frantic, but the best ones are really controlled. A tiny automation ramp over half a bar or one bar can create way more tension than a giant volume jump. Short repeated automation moves are your friend. Now let's make the break feel even more alive with simpler editing. If you're triggering slices from MIDI, you can automate slice choice, sample start, or variation changes to create that classic chop jungle feeling. Use different snare ghosts, reverse hits, and little skip moments before a downbeat. That kind of movement gives your loop personality. It stops the pattern from sounding like a loop and makes it sound like a performance. A really useful trick is to create a main loop and a fill loop. The main loop stays stable. The fill loop has a different slice map, a little more saturation, maybe a short reverb throw, and slightly less low end. Then you switch into it for just a bar or half a bar. That kind of contrast sounds intentional and musical, not random. Now let's make room for the bass, because indeed NB, the drum rack never lives alone. The bass has to sit around the drums, not on top of them. Keep the sub mostly mono. Let the kick claim its punch zone, and carve space in the break where necessary so the low end doesn't get muddy. Old breaks often carry low frequency junk that sounds cool by itself, but steals headroom once the bass arrives. If the drums and bass are fighting, do not just turn everything up. That's the trap. Instead, clean the break's low end, use gentle sidechain compression if needed, and shape the arrangement so the low-heavy moments don't all happen at once. Sometimes the most powerful move is subtraction. You can also use rack variations for more movement. Make separate states for intro, drop, fill, and breakdown. Map a chain selector or variation control to a macro, so you can sweep between different versions of the break. One state can be clean, another more distorted, another chopped, another thinner and more atmospheric. That gives you a lot of mileage from one source sample, which is exactly what jungle is about. You're not relying on endless new sounds. You're getting new energy from smart manipulation. A few important warnings here. First, don't overprocess the break. If the transient disappears, the groove loses urgency. Second, don't let the sample clip before the mix even starts. Third, don't make the rack too wide too soon. Wide can sound exciting, but the kick and snare should usually stay centered and solid. Save width for hats, texture, and ambience. And finally, don't use the master limiter as a crutch. If the master is doing all the work, the balance in the track is probably off. Here's a pro-level mindset shift. Think in gain stages, not just faders. If the rack feels too small, fix it inside the chain first. A small trim, a better saturation move, or a cleaner EQ decision often solves more than pulling the track fader down later. Let's put this into a practical exercise. Build an 8-bar jungle drop. Load one Amen-style break into simpler, add kick and snare one-shots in a drum rack and build a chain with a Q8, drum bus, saturator, and utility. Then map at least 4 macros, like break level, snap, dirt, and space. Program the first 2 bars as your basic groove. In bars 3 and 4, add ghost hits or small fills. In bars 5 and 6, open the tone a little. Then in bars 7 and 8, add a fill and a reverb throw. Automate the snap up slightly in the second half. Push the dirt only at the end, and keep the space controlled until the fill moment. And while you do all of that, watch the meter. You want the master staying comfortably below clipping while you write. If it sounds punchy at that level, you're in a really good place. That's the big takeaway from this whole lesson. In drum and bass, power comes from control. If you can automate your brake rack musically, keep your headroom intact, and leave space for the bass to move, your track will sound louder, cleaner, and more professional without actually abusing the mix. So as you work, remember the mantra, shape energy, don't just push level, automate tone, transient, density, and space with intention. Keep the low end disciplined, use parallel processing for aggression, and let the arrangement breathe in phrases. That's how you build a jungle sampler rack in Ableton Live 12 that hits hard, stays clean, and doesn't lose headroom. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter voiceover version or a more detailed bar-by-bar walkthrough for a 174 BPM drop.